Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going
to
get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Happy Thursday, February 22nd, 2018. That's right. I am the man behind the mic, your host of WKAR's current sports, Al Martin, coming to you live right here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Or you may be listening via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, where we have the live stream up and running. We've got a lot to get to on today's current sports. A few breaking stories coming through the news wire within the span of, what, the last 3 hours. There is a new report from the Lansing City Pulse detailing new information that pertains to the ESPN report centered on former basketball players Keith Appling and Adrian Payne. This piece is done by City Pulse reporter Todd Haywood. I'll bring to you new details coming from that report. Also, a breaking story concerning tomorrow night's pretty big, probably the biggest high school boys basketball game in the area, centered on the East Lansing Trojans and the Okemos Chiefs. That game will take place tomorrow night at 7 p.m. However, there's a pretty big name that you will not see on the sidelines. I'll bring that story to you in just a moment. So we'll bring those two breaking stories to you. So hold tight to find out the details of both of them. We'll also recap last night's Michigan State women's basketball matchup against Wisconsin, which happened to be senior day for Susie Merchant Spartans. I was there and interviewed three of the five seniors who said goodbye to Spartan Nation on the Breslin Center floor. And we'll also briefly chat about, how about the Michigan men's basketball team? How impressive have they been this season? They pick up a huge win on the road at a very good Penn State basketball's home last night. We'll get to the details of that game as well, and we will welcome to the show former Michigan State men's basketball player, a transfer. He was a transfer from West Virginia. He will join us from Wisconsin. His name is Aaron Harris, former MSU men's basketball guard from Indianapolis, Indiana. So you don't want to miss that chat. I will be picking Aaron's brain about how this season has gone so far for Tom Izzo's troops, winning a Big Ten championship. One more game left that will happen on the road this weekend on the heels of course, the Big Ten tournament, which will take place in New York City in Madison Square Garden. And I will also, of course, pick the brain of Aaron as it pertains to the ESPN reports centered on MSU men's basketball, Adrian Payne, Keith Appling, and again, new developments when it comes to that story coming out of the wheelhouse of the Lansing City Pulse. So a lot to get to. Again, if you would like to join the conversation, again, multiple ways in which you can do so. Again, facebook.com/currentsports, live stream up and running. Also, tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports is how you can tweet the show. Or just pick up the phone and chat with me directly. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. But what I want to do right now is pass along to you some news concerning the really horrendous flooding that this area is undergoing right now. I mean, heck, last night when I got off work, you know, I left the Breslin Center, came back to the station and filed my Michigan State Women's Basketball Senior Day reports. It was about 12:30 a.m. Those of you who know me know that I love going to the gym late at night. I don't have to wait on equipment. It's pretty much just me and weights. Sounds like heaven, right? So on my drive, though, I had to turn around and go back to my apartment because while I was driving on my way to Okemos, the streets were flooded. And there was no way I was risking my car in that mess last night. And it's expected to get worse. So as of this hour, Lansing Mayor Andy Shore and other emergency officials are recommending people in the Urbandale neighborhood and other places near the Grand River Street to leave their homes as soon as possible. The city expects nearly 300 homes and half a dozen businesses to be severely flooded. Lansing Police Chief Michael Yankowski emphasized that people should evacuate and not second-guess floodwaters.
Currents of water and the power of the water can sweep away a young kid. People can drown in 2 feet of water very easily. This is a strong recommendation that get out now while you have the time and the ability, because when the water starts rising and we get multiple calls for assistance, it's going to make our job a lot harder.
The American Red Cross shelter is also opening at this hour at Letts Community Center. That address is 1220 West Kalamazoo Street. Again, 1220 West Kalamazoo Street. If you need help because you are disabled or you need a place for your pets to stay while you evacuate, you are encouraged to call 211. Again, that's 211. Now, some other details we need to pass along. There are many intersections and roads that are flooded along the Grand Rivers, including the entrance ramp to I-496 and US 127 from Kalamazoo and Lansing. Grand River Avenue M43 is completely closed from Marsh Road West to Park Lake Road. Also, Okemos Road is closed from Hamilton Road North to Gaylord C. Smith due to flooding. And areas on the Michigan State University campus are closed near the Red Cedar River. Earlier, Brooke Allen talked with WLNS TV6 News meteorologist Eric Kostreva. He told Brooke that the river will take a long time to recede.
Well, it's been a slow change in the river heights. We haven't seen a significant change since earlier this morning, but this is going to be a very slow process. We're likely going to add another foot or so to the river levels before they continue to recede. That's going to occur later this afternoon, and that's exactly why that flood warning continues until about 1 o'clock today.
And how about today's forecast? Is that going to have any impact on this flooding?
We're likely not going to see much of an impact from the forecast today or really over the next several days. Today's forecast is dry, and we're likely going to maybe even see a few peaks of sunshine later this afternoon. Temperatures likely going to top out around 40 degrees, but we do have rain in the forecast tomorrow. Not going to be a lot, thankfully, so river levels shouldn't be impacted too much for the rest of the week.
Again, that was 6 News meteorologist Eric Kostreva. Everything you need to know is on WKAR.org and the WKAR News Facebook page, including road closures and other information from the cities. Also, we invite you to share your pictures and videos with us again at the WKAR News Facebook page. Be safe out there. Again, if you see flooding while you're driving, don't try to go through it. Be safe. Be smart. We proceed with your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, I want to pass along details concerning what will be the biggest local high school boys basketball game tomorrow night. The Class A, number 8 ranked East Lansing boys basketball team will play for its third straight CAAC Blue Championship. However, they will do so without its head coach. 8th-year Trojan coach Steve Finnemore said that he has been suspended for Friday's road game against Okemos. The suspension, which started Wednesday and extends through Friday's game, is a result of a loud argument Finnemore had with an upset parent of one of East Lansing's players and then athletic director Tom Hunt following the win over Eastern. Finnemore said, again, this is being reported by Lansing State Journal reporter Brian Calloway. Now, when he was reached Thursday morning, Hunt said Finnemore would not be on the bench Friday, but he wouldn't comment further because he said it was a personal matter. A direct quote from Finnemore published in Brian Calloway's article, quote, "We are 15-2. We won the game by 31 points, and we had won the previous game against Hope by 40 points. We are a very good team. There's a lot of cohesiveness. There's a lot of camaraderie, and it only takes one person to shake everything up." So the Trojans tied atop the CAAC Blue standings with Okemos entering the league finale. I'll have brief dialogue on that story in just a moment. Hold tight. In a game with 10 lead changes, the Michigan State women's basketball team stopped Wisconsin 69-61 on senior night last night at the Breslin Center. Brandi Agee from the D captured her third double-dub of the season with 13 points, a season-high 14 boards. Sophomore guard Taryn McCutcheon led the team in scoring with 16 points, netting 4 3-pointers, dishing out 6 assists. Junior center Jenna Allen was just shy of a double-double with 14 points, 9 boards. Marsha Howard led the Badgers in scoring with 28 points, 4 boards. The Spartans now improve to 16-12 overall, 6-9 in the Big Ten, while Wisconsin falls to 9-20 overall, 2-14 in Big Ten play. And those seniors that were honored are, again, Brandi Agee, Kiara Carter, Lexi Gussert, Kennedy Johnson, and, who joined us on yesterday's current sports, Tayo Reimer. More on senior day for the MSU women's basketball team in just a moment. The number 16 Michigan men's basketball team got 19 points from Duncan Robinson and 18 from Mo Wagner, clawing its way to a scrappy 72-63 win at Penn State. The Wolverines now move to 23-7, 12-5 in Big Ten play. Michigan will close out its regular season this Saturday at Maryland. With the win, Michigan can now do no worse than number 5 in the Big Ten Conference, come just on the heels of course, the Big Ten tournament out in NYC. Now, if the Wolverines beat Maryland on Saturday and Penn State wins at Nebraska, the Wolverines will earn that double bye and the number 4 seed in the tournament. The win would also give Michigan the most regular season wins the program has had during a regular season since the 2012-13 Final Four squad wound up with 25 before postseason play. More on that win for the Wolverines in just a moment. The cases involving sexual assault allegations against 3 ex-Michigan State football players continue to move toward trial. Josh King, Donnie Corley, and Demetric Vance each face sexual assault charges stemming from an incident during a party at a campus apartment in January of last year. Attorneys representing the 3 players met with prosecutors inside of Judge Rosemarie Aquilina's chambers at a pretrial conference Wednesday morning in Ingham County Circuit Court. The players, who remained free after posting bond, waited outside the courtroom with friends and family. Assistant Ingham County Prosecutor Steve Kwasniak said another hearing is set for April 4th. He declined to comment further. The Detroit Tigers' first game of the spring training year is today, as the team goes against Florida Southern. The Tigers' matchup against Florida Southern is one of the longest-running matchups currently in spring training. First pitch has already happened. 10 minutes ago, actually, at 1:05 p.m. You can find all of the TV and radio information on various resources online. Alex Wilson is set to start on the mound as he auditions for a chance to be in the starting rotation. Ron Gardenhire has also released his starting lineup this spring with Daniel Norris and Mike Fears, both getting opportunities on the mound. The Tigers begin Grapefruit League play tomorrow against the New York Yankees. The Detroit Red Wings have lost 3 of 4, including their past two, by 3-2 scores to Toronto and Nashville. They play the third of a 4-game homestand against Buffalo. The Sabres, who stand at the bottom of the Eastern Conference, have lost 3 straight. Puck drop set for 7:30 p.m. at Little Caesars Arena. Reggie Jackson is one step closer to getting back on the court for the red, white, and royal blue. That's right, the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons announced after Wednesday's practice, saying that the veteran guard has reached the next stage of his rehab from a right ankle sprain suffered on December 26th, and he has been cleared for at least light running. And how about this story? How about this story? Congratulations to the United States women's hockey team in one of the most satisfying moments in U.S. Olympic history, in one of the most spirited rivalries in all of sports, in the midst of a bitter 20-year gold medal drought. The U.S. women's hockey team defeated Canada 3-2 in a game that drew more enticing by the minutes as it moved from regulation to overtime to a shootout that needed even more shots to settle things, with a U.S. goal for the ages followed by a save to match. How about that? And it was really fitting that the greatest game in U.S. women's hockey history would take place on the 38th anniversary of the greatest game in U.S. men's hockey history, and really the best upset in any sport ever, the 1980 Miracle on Ice victory over the Soviet Union in Lake Placid. Do you believe in miracles? Yes. Shout out to Al Michaels. But congratulations to the U.S. women's hockey team. A win for the ages, without a doubt. And my man, Tiger Woods, y'all. Tiger Woods got off to a quick start today at the Honda Classic Round 1, firing a 1-under-34 on his opening 9 at PGA National. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's keep it pushing.
Presented by Discover. I think that stare is also presented by Discover.
All right, how about that? The Michigan Wolverines last night, a scrappy 72-63 win at Penn State. I tell you what, nobody wants to see the Wolverines come the Big Dance. I mean, this is a team that has a lot of talent. This is a team that is very tough, not really a hallmark of John Beilein's usually more so finesse teams. But I think the scrappiness is due to, in part, a lot of Mo Wagner's play. I mean, that dude, and he's embracing, you know, I saw an article today published by the Detroit Free Press really detailing how Mo Wagner is embracing his role as the Big Ten villain. He loves that stuff. Nick Baumgartner did a great job detailing that story. But U of M holding off Penn State for a key victory in the Big Ten Conference. 19 points from Duncan Robinson, who had sweet string music all night. Mo Wagner was 4-5 from deep as the Wolverines now move to 23-7, 12-5 in Big Ten play. And you just heard what was one of the best dunks, no matter what level of sport, last night from Jordan Poole, who has played really, really good as of late. Jordan Poole getting the majority of minutes in comparison to Charles Matthews, who started that game, did not start off very well. Charles Matthews had a lot of turnovers to begin that game, but Jordan Poole came in and was just very efficient. And that dunk that he had on the break, oh, sends chills up your spine. Very impressive performance by the Michigan Wolverines. Very impressive performance, especially when you consider the fact that Penn State, they have been playing really good as of late, playing their best basketball in these past few weeks. Tony Carr was D'd up by Xavier Simpson. That defensive effort that Simpson had on Tony Carr early led to a shooting effort of just, what 2 of 7 shooting for Tony Carr to start the game. Now, he did finish above his average. He ended up finishing with 21 points. He averages about 19.6 points per game, but he needed 18 shot attempts to get to that 21-point mark. So great defense by Xavier Simpson. You know, I mentioned Mo Wagner. I mean, my goodness, he's shooting so well, better than 40% from the three-point line. And again, 4-5 from deep. Really, that second half, midway through the second half, he was great and really just salvaging momentum from Penn State and allowing the Wolverines to go on a bit of a run. That was really fun to watch. And we all know how well documented the struggles of the Michigan Wolverines have been from the charity stripe. They have not performed well at the free throw line. But get this, Michigan finishes 16 of 19 from the free throw line, and that included a 13 for 14 mark in the second half. I repeat, nobody wants to see the Michigan Wolverines come the Big Dance. Real quick, Ian Hawley, current sports engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. Ian, I want to ask you about the Michigan Wolverines. I don't know if you tuned into yesterday's game, but the fact that they did beat a surging Penn State squad on the road, what do you think that says about this squad, and how worried should the rest of the Big Ten be when it comes to evaluating this Wolverines team?
So I didn't tune into the game myself. Tamar and John here might have. They could probably be of more help than I could. But as far as Michigan's season has gone, it's tough to evaluate because they have some really crummy losses when you look at their overall record. But they also have some really strong wins, including the one against Michigan State. So I think Michigan is doing the right things at the right time here. I know a lot of those losses were early on in the season. So I think they're going to be a tough team in this upcoming Big Ten tournament, and I think they'll get into the NCAA tournament
and
make a run there as well.
Yeah, they're already in the tournament. I mean, I think that debate is dead and gone now. I mean, especially when you consider the fact that they beat the Spartans at the Breslin Center. I mean, put them in the tournament right now. It's just a matter of seeding now. I wouldn't be surprised, and I'm going to say this on the record, I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan won the Big Ten tournament. I tell you what, I don't really care if Michigan State wins the Big Ten tournament or not. It's irrelevant. I hate that the Big Ten began a week earlier this season, and the fact that the Big Ten tournament will be beginning less than a week from today now, next week in Madison Square Garden in NYC. Now you have a week off before you even reach Election Sunday. I hate that because I'm all about the groove when it comes to March Madness time. I think that's way too much time off, and Tom Izzo is really going to have a challenge on his hands when it comes to just trying to keep his team in game mode. Because I think the rest of college basketball is looking at the Big Ten saying, whoa, really? Your Big Ten tournament starts next week? Well, next week is the final week of our regular season. So it makes no sense to me. But again, I reiterate, the Michigan Wolverines, they have a lot of weapons. And I'm just saying, watch out for this squad. That's all I want to say. You know, I want to give the Michigan State women's basketball team some pub. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to push that conversation to later on in the hour due to some breaking news stories that came through the wire. I want to start with and you just heard about the Steve Finnemore news. Steve Finnemore, head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, he will not be on the sidelines for what is the biggest game of the season for our area's best high school boys hoop squad. The reason being, looks as though Steve got into an argument of some sorts, a loud argument of some sorts, after the win over Lansing Eastern on Tuesday. He got into it with a parent, an argument with a parent, as well as athletic director Tom Hunt. And the only thing I want to say about that is, you know, I've talked with Steve. He's been a regular on our show. Heck, Steve Finnemore was a guest last week here on WKAR's Current Sports. And, you know, those of you who recall those interviews, you guys know I've had conversations when it comes to Steve and how much longer he plans on coaching boys high school basketball at East Lansing High School. And he always notes the challenge of trying to deal with today's parents. And I know I couldn't be a high school coach. I probably couldn't be. I couldn't be a coach, period, for numerous reasons. But one of those reasons, including at the youth level, just how you got to deal with whiny parents, you know, because every parent, I won't say every parent. Let me say this. A lot of parents believe that little Johnny boy, their little Johnny boy, is the best thing since sliced bread. They haven't seen little Johnny in practice. They can't make a fair evaluation. All they know is that little Johnny boy is my son, or little Susie is my daughter, and little Johnny and little Susie, they deserve all the playing time in the world because they're my little one and I want everything to be fair. And I know that they are great players because I've seen them. I've played with them in the backyard. I've been practicing with them. They deserve more PT. They deserve this. They deserve that. It certainly breeded a mentality of entitlement that does not help in the year 2018 when it comes to today's generation. And Steve has let that be known here on our airwaves, just how challenging it is to deal with parents. At the end of the day, parents, you got to know your role and shut your mouth, to steal a line from The Rock from the previous WWF with my favorite wrestler of all time. Know your role and shut your mouth, okay? You're not the one coaching this team. You don't know what's going into the game prep day in and day out. Let the coach do his job. But far too often, I have seen it personally. Heck, I remember when I was playing basketball on my high school basketball team, parents arguing that their kid deserves more playing time, this and that, and this and that, and arguing with the head coach about it. It's very upsetting, and I can only imagine what it's like to be the coach in that position to have to deal with that garbage. At some point, you flip your wig, right? That again, we don't know the details of what happened in this argument. I'm just saying what the conversations have been like when we've had Steve Finnemore here on the show, and he's noted the challenge that it is dealing with parents. So the result of this argument after Tuesday's win over Lansing Eastern, Steve Finnemore will not be coaching on the sidelines for the Trojans. And again, this will be the biggest game of the season for the Trojans, or the Chiefs for that matter, because this is for the CAAC Blue title. So, East Lansing freshman coach Kevin Mays will actually coach the Trojans in the absence of Finnemore. And I'm surprised that Steve Martin, assistant coach, who I know very well, I'm surprised that Steve Martin didn't get bumped up to that role. So, yeah, Kevin Mays will coach the Trojans. But again, you know, and also, what did we talk about last week with Steve? You know, I brought up how the Golden State Warriors, I don't know if many of you guys saw this, but the Golden State Warriors, they're a unique team in many different ways. But Steve Kerr, I love Steve Kerr as a coach. Steve Kerr emphasizes, much like Tom Izzo does, a player-coach team, right? A player-coach team speaks to the chemistry. It just has a trickle-down effect. It just has a trickle-down effect to how that chemistry blossoms on the hardwood. But Steve Kerr was criticized by some. I love the move. But he allowed some of his players to act as head coach during the huddle of a game against the lowly Phoenix Suns. I love that. And I asked Steve Fittimore about that on last week's show. And Steve loved the idea because he emphasizes how he believes in a player-coach team. A player-coach team has success because the chemistry is unbreakable. So that will certainly be tested tomorrow night as the Trojans take on the Okemos Chiefs. And real briefly, I know John Simon is behind the glass, current sports production assistant. John, you will be at the game. I know I just pull people. It's so funny when I do this because you guys can't see this during the broadcast, but you know our crew, our current sports crew, they're all chatting. They could care less what I'm saying on the air. They're all chatting behind the glass, and I just sometimes out of nowhere, hey John, hey Ian, and they hear their name on the air. And they don't know what the heck I'm talking about, and I catch them by surprise. So you should have just seen John's face. It's like he just saw a ghost. Like whoa, I'm about to be on the air. Yeah, you are, John. John, welcome to the current sports. Real briefly here again, just a quick chat because we talked about this after yesterday's show. You will be at the East Lansing and Okemos game tomorrow. You know Steve Fittimore pretty well. I mean, you did a piece on him as we were chatting after the show. Just how surprised are you with this move, and just how much does Steve mean to this program?
I mean, first off, Al, don't think that we're not listening to what you say. What you're saying back here? We're engaging and we're having conversation over what you're talking about.
Oh, but are you? Okay. Sure.
I will be in attendance at the game Friday, and I mean Fittimore's absence is it's going to be important. I mean he's led the East Lansing to 2 23-24 win seasons the last 2 years. He's been there for 8 years now. He won State Coach of the Year a few years ago. And from what I know about him is he really does love his players. I mean, whatever this argument was between him and a parent, it's got to be something either personal between them, but it's in no way do I believe that it's something of him treating a kid badly or unfairly.
Right.
From what I've seen from the players, they love him. And I mean, you talk about a kid like Brandon Johns. I mean, yes, he's a star player. He's a recruit going to Michigan next year. But his relationship with Fittimore is something that I haven't really seen with many high school players and their coaches really anywhere, whether it's Michigan, back home in New York, or anything like that. So against a team like Okemos that beat them earlier this season, and this is a game for a league championship, a coach like that's absence is absolutely going to be taken into account.
Definitely, and yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of performance Brandon Johns has tomorrow night as well. But yeah, I mean, this is an avenged game for East Lansing, seeing as though they fell to Okemos earlier on in the season. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will welcome to the show from Wisconsin. He's in Wisconsin, I believe, training, getting his body right. He's trying to make that pro basketball dream come to fruition. Aaron Harris, former MSU men's basketball guard from Indianapolis, Indiana. Aaron Harris will join us after this. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just spent segment A briefly touching on the Michigan men's basketball win over Penn State, as well as breaking news concerning East Lansing head boys basketball coach Steve Fittimore, who has been suspended for tomorrow night's matchup at Okemos High School against the Chiefs, a battle for the CAAC Blue Crown. Steve Fittimore will not be coaching on the sidelines due to an argument that he had with a parent of one of his players after the win over Lansing Eastern on Tuesday. Also, I just want to bring this story to you all again. I am still trying to digest it myself, but the Lansing City Pulse has a story that is getting a ton of traction online right now, written by Todd Haywood. The headline reads, quote, Izzo fully informed. New documents detail MSU Appling Payne housing irregularities. Bear with me here. Quote, in response to the sexual assault allegations against two standout freshman Michigan State University basketball players in 2010, the university ignored its own sexual assault protocols in moving Keith Appling and Adrian Payne out of Wonders Hall, newly obtained documents show. Additionally, the documents show MSU basketball coach Tom Izzo was not only informed about the case against his players, but that he quickly met with Associate Athletic Director Alan Haller, a former MSU police officer, and assistant coach Mike Garland, as well as the players hours after a search warrant was executed on their dorm room. The new documents include letters from federal investigators from the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights, the university's responses, and dozens of pages of emails created in the wake of the 2010 sexual assault allegations. The emails show that Appling and Payne were moved without a hearing, violating the standing protocols of the university. Nothing in the documents explains why an exception was made. It goes on to quote Paula Ranella, complex director of Wonders Hall. As you comb through this piece, again, this is published by the Lansing City Pulse, Todd Haywood. As you move through the piece, it goes on to detail exactly the timeline and what happened and what should have happened. Again, I'm still trying to digest it. So I'm not going to comment on the piece right now because I'm still trying to digest it. Actually, on my way to the studio, the reason how I found out about the piece was our very own Ian Hawley gave me a call and said, hey, Al, have you seen this? So it is gaining a ton of traction. I'm actually working on right now trying to get Todd Haywood on the show sometime tomorrow. So check it out. I want to know your thoughts. We're going to have an extended conversation on this piece during tomorrow's Current Sports. But right now, what I want to do is welcome a dear friend of the show. His name is Aaron Harris, former MSU men's basketball guard from Indianapolis, Indiana. He is joining us in Wisconsin right now. Aaron Harris, welcome to the show. Aaron, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me.
Always good chatting with you, Aaron. And first off, what in the world are you doing in Wisconsin?
Man, I'm out in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, out here playing for the G League for the Milwaukee Bucks team, the Herd.
Really? I did not know you were on the G League team now. Aaron, congratulations, my man. That's exciting stuff.
I actually have been waived recently. I actually just got waived.
Oh, so, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm technically not on the team anymore. But
oh, man, I'm sorry, brother. My goodness.
Hey, it's all good, man. It's all just start for my career. I came straight from state, you know, rehabbing up there. I came straight from there and got, you know, a blessing of opportunity to be able to come out here. They gave me opportunity. The GM for the Herd, Dave Dean, he gave me an opportunity to come out here and play with the team. I got to see some things, do some things, and it was a great experience. And right now I'm just getting ready to transition. You know, I'm talking to my agent, and we're, you know, trying to figure something out, what we're going to do. But I'm still grinding, getting better.
Oh, that's great stuff, Aaron. So I'll hold the applause right now. But just the fact that, you know, you got a chance to join the squad and play for the G League for the Milwaukee Bucks, that's still very cool stuff. So are you right now currently trying to find another G League team to hop aboard on to give you a shot to possibly make that NBA dream come true?
My agents are working for me. They're working hard for me, you know, whether it's going. Because there's the G League season is not much left of it. It's only like a month left. So, you know, I'm not super worried about, you know, just I don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, if a team feels like they want to add a guy or, you know, you never know what could happen. And also even, you know, overseas, I don't know the timeline exactly of how long those seasons go, but I've heard some of those seasons go till May. And, you know, all the options are open for me. It's just I'm waiting to hear from my agent and see what they got for me. So I'm just going with the flow, man. I just started. I haven't even done a summer league or, you know, training camp or preseason yet. It's like I'm a rookie, but I'm like a pre-rookie. Like it's like almost like a trial run, you know, because I haven't even done the summer process yet. So
right.
It's all good timing, and it's just I'm loving the journey.
That's great stuff. There's nothing like the journey. There's so much beauty in the journey, Aaron. So how many games did you play in?
I was on the roster for like 10 or 11 games, I think it was. It was like a little over a month. We played in Toronto at the G League Showcase, and then we played a bunch of home games, traveled. I traveled with them. It was a great experience. You know, played against a lot of guys I knew.
Mm-hmm. And who are some of those players, Aaron, that you played against?
Marcus Teague. I'm terrible at remembering stuff like that. I ain't gonna lie. Marcus Teague is from where I'm from. He's my big bro. I played against him. He plays for the Memphis team. They came and played. He did really well. Who else? My guy from Wisconsin. I played against DuCon. I know him from the Big Ten. Bronson Koenig.
Right.
Bronson Koenig. Kay Felder.
Okay.
Man, I played against a lot of guys that's familiar with me, man, that I'm familiar with them too, man. Like Dusty Hannes used to play in the Big 12, Texas Tech. Me and him played. We're like the same year. He was the sniper shooter for Texas Tech. He remembered me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, there's a bunch of other guys.
That is great stuff. Well, Aaron, we are certainly wishing you well on the journey. And yeah, you know, keep me posted, man. You know, if you do get picked up by another G League team and if you do start playing in the Summer League, keep us posted, man. We'll pass that news along to our listeners because, you know, every time we have you on, I'm getting at least three messages from our listeners, you know, wanting to know what you are up to and enjoy. They enjoy listening to you on our airwaves, man. So keep us posted, brother. But I want to transition now. I know you, of course, are still very close with the program, and you've been following just how special this team is this year. As we all know, with the win earlier this week on Senior Day, this team, with a win over Illinois, got a chance to clinch the Big Ten championship. From following this team from your perspective, I mean, how special has this year been already?
Man, it's crazy. I mean, everybody who played for Michigan State, you know what I'm saying, they know how important this stuff is, and they know what's going on right now, you know, in the locker room and, you know, amongst the team meetings and everything. We know, like, we've been around, you know, Coach Iz and OG, Coach Garland, you know, DJ, you know, they buckling down right now. Like, it's tournament time, you know. It's almost tournament time. Like, they're buckling down right now, locking in, like, and for them to come out with an outright, Big Ten outright, like, I was there for 3 years, you know, we didn't get that outright, you know what I'm saying? We was really trying to buckle down on it. And so for them guys, them young guys, you know, to get that Big Ten outright, that is crazy, man. Like, everybody's, like, congratulating them, and that's, like, really special. Like, not just to get a Big Ten tournament championship, but a Big Ten outright is another level. So I'm, like, super happy for them, man.
Yeah, and they can clinch that outright if they, again, handle business this Sunday at Wisconsin. Again, it will be the first outright Big Ten title since 2009, actually, Aaron. So it's a long time coming, right, if they do get it.
they didn't get it yet?
No, they just clinched a share. They just clinched a share with the win over Illinois on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Dang, I didn't know that. Well, we gon', you know what? You know, they put out the little banner or whatever that said Big Ten champions.
Right.
So, hey, we was happy about that. So,
right.
But, hey, whatever you talking about, I wasn't aware of that. But, hey, now I got something to look for, another thing to look forward to. They need that. We need that.
Exactly. For sure, Aaron. And you know, I want to comment because, you know, the talk of the town here in the area and, you know, for that matter, nationally, even due to the ESPN report from E60 detailing possible mishandlings from the program as it pertains to Keith Appling and Adrian Payne. I just want you to, you know, I just want to get your thoughts on what has taken place these last few weeks. And in regards to that report, does this accomplishment of winning a Big Ten championship mean even more? But it can't feel good if you're a player and you're watching this on national television, you know, reporters, or I should say this report, questioning the integrity of the program, that can't feel too good as a former player, I'm sure, Aaron.
So, Yeah, I mean, I love them guys over there at the program, man. I came in with a goal, you know, common goal as them, you know what I mean? And so I know them guys, and my big bros, you know what I'm saying? Some of the best people I ever met, you know what I'm saying? So I just pray for it, you know what I mean? I know that, you know, the world is corrupt, you know what I mean? And so, you know, I just worry about what I can control. You know, people will try to say certain things, and, you know, I only know so much, and so I just pray for them guys, you know what I'm saying, because I know them, you know what I mean? And I wouldn't want anything bad to happen to anybody, you know what I'm saying, especially the program, you know what I'm saying, as much as it's been built up over the years, and as, you know, as hard as them guys work, as genuine as them people is, you know what I mean? So I really don't have no worries as far as that. I'm impressed by how they continue to work with the energy that they working with, you know, their ability to still, you know, with all that stuff going on, all that heat, you know what I mean? They still able to play with that passion. I think it's fueling them at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I think it's fueling them. So, you know, I'm not giving that too much energy, man. I'm going to just let that happen. You know, let that handle itself. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just happy for what them guys is doing. It's huge. Like you said, getting this Big Ten championship and then, you know, furthermore, getting that outright, you know, and what they're going to accomplish for the rest of the season is going to be huge for Michigan State. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just going to keep watching, man. I'm hoping they go ahead and pull the rest of it out, man. And I know they can.
And I know that, of course, Keith Appling and Adrian Payne, they were before you got on campus, Aaron. They were before your tenure here at Michigan State University. But do you have a relationship with those two players, or even Travis Walton?
Yeah, all three of them. Not so much Keith Appling. Mm-hmm. I've met him a couple times briefly, but his energy, like he one of the best dudes I've met too. I don't know him like that, having a crazy conversation, but from what I know about people and feeling that energy, you know what I'm saying? He a good dude. He always had advice for me, you know what I'm saying? Basketball advice. And when he can't, he works hard when he comes in. But Adrian Payne, that's my big brother. Like, when I get around him, you know what I'm saying? Me and him have great conversation, you know what I'm saying? And he's the same kind of almost type of dude as me. Like, we you know, we can have a discussion. We ain't got to argue, but we can have a discussion about something, you know what I'm saying? Really have a deep conversation. You know, he throws his opinion, I throw my opinion, you know. He seen me, you know, I seen him in Toronto for the G League Showcase. I seen him. I had to talk to him real quick about a situation. He told me what was going on. That's my big brother.
What kind of spirit was he in? I mean, was it just basically just you kind of offering encouragement or you know,
yeah,
did he seem worried? Or?
He was just like, you know, I'm struggling just a little bit, but, you know, I'm still here, you know what I mean? I'm like, hey, bro, just, you know, my perspective on the whole thing, you know, just do what you got to do, play your role, you know, get out there and do the small things, you know what I'm saying? Like, just do this and that, you know what I mean? But you will be good, bro. I just told him, you know, you're going to be good, bro. People know how talented you are, bro. Just keep growing and changing, you know what I'm saying? Just keep evolving and changing and keep hooping, bro. You're going to be good. And then, you know, Travis Walton, that's my big bro too. You know, since I got there, he done worked me out and gave me advice, all good advice. And, you know, he's been caring and loving. So all three of them dudes, you know, I'm familiar with, especially Adrian and Travis.
I want to give you the opportunity, Aaron, to speak to what we've seen with these reports. And, of course, the relationship that you have with head coach Tom Izzo. It's got to be a bit unnerving to see how Tom Izzo, who prior to this, I mean, has been looked at as one of the most, really the most respected college basketball coaches that we've ever seen, and to see his integrity now in question. Would you like to say anything concerning Tom Izzo and maybe in his defense or other than that when it comes to this story?
I mean, look, I met Tom Izzo right before I came, and that was the start of our relationship. He's had good things to say for me. You know, whatever disagreement we've ever had was on a basketball standpoint, but man to man, you know, he's been a good man. He's been a guy who does stuff for the people that he loves. And I mean, at the end of the day, that's where I got to keep it at. You know, mm-hmm. I wasn't, You know, we went over his house. He was welcoming to people. He's passionate about what he does. And, you know, I wouldn't say that I had the best relationship with him, you know, as like a Denzel, you know what I'm saying, like as Denzel had, or, you know, some other guys who went there for 4 years coming in and was heavily recruited, you know, out of high school, like, you know, maybe Miles and, you know what I'm saying, some other guys. But, mm-hmm. you know, from my standpoint, he was a great coach. So that's all I got to say about that. But that's like going back to the situation where I say, you know, I know the guy, and I wouldn't want nothing to happen to him. You know, I wouldn't want nothing bad to happen to him or what he's built, you know, his name or what he's built. So I just say a prayer for it, you know what I'm saying? And,
certainly.
You know, from there, it is what it is, you know.
Aaron Harris, former MSU men's basketball guard from Indianapolis, Indiana. He is joining us live from Wisconsin right now. Aaron, before we get you out of here, my man, can you just give us an update? As you stated to start this interview, again, you just ended a stint in the G League with the Milwaukee Bucks G League team. By the way, what is the name of the Milwaukee Bucks G League team? I'm curious.
It's called the Wisconsin Herd.
The Wisconsin Herd. So you just ended a stint with the Wisconsin Herd, and you're still out in Whiskey right now. So what's next? What are the next few days or even weeks like for you now, my man?
Well, I'm just here, man, just sticking around just for a second, just, you know, until I get an option. You know, they've allowed me to stay around here and continue to work out, you know, just like work with the team, practice with the team, work out, lift weights, keep getting better. They say that they like me, you know, they just picked up Brandon Jennings, you know, and I was kind of at the bottom of the minutes, you know, I really wasn't playing a lot. And so they had to go ahead and waive me and get me up out of there. But it's just a business thing. But they, like I said, they're allowing me to still work out and lift and get better in that standpoint, which I appreciate. For me, you know, like I said, if my agent comes with a situation for me, I'll really hear something where I feel like I want to move on it, then I'll do that. But mm-hmm. if not, then I'm just going to go with the flow one day at a time, man. I really am a true believer in God's plan, you know, and what God can do for someone one day at a time, you know, one moment at a time, what he can open up for me tomorrow or open up for me tonight. You know, you just never know when that opportunity is going to come. So I don't have no worries. I just worry about what I can control, just work out and be ready for that opportunity when it comes, you know.
Preach on, brother. It's all about God's plan, as the great poet Drake would say, right, Aaron?
Yes, sir. it's big right now, you know what I mean?
Definitely. Well, hey, we're wishing you well. Keep us posted. You know we got your back, my man, and I'm looking forward to seeing you make that NBA dream come true, all right?
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, man, every time.
Always, the great Aaron Harris, former MSU men's basketball guard from Indianapolis, Indiana. Let's hit our brief second break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have 3 minutes left in the hour. And right now I want to get to one of our favorite callers who is on line one. We've got Mike from Saginaw that wants to chime in. Mike, what's the dealio? Mike? Mike, are you there? Calling?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
All right. We got you.
Yes, I am. Congratulations to Michigan State for winning the Big Ten regular season title. Congrats to them. But since we here, man, this time last week I called you and asked you about Black Panther. I don't know if you commented on the experience. How was the theater? Was it crowded? Was it whatever?
Yeah.
I'd just like to hear you talk more about Black Panther since the whole world is talking.
talking about it.
And you know what? I'm saving a brief segment for tomorrow. I got a spiel about Black Panther, but just a brief preview. I went to go see Black Panther on Saturday here in Lansing. The theater was absolutely packed to the brim. I saw it. It took me on an emotional roller coaster, Mike. I cheered. I cried. I'm not even an emotional dude. The last time I cried, I think, was when I watched The Lion King, you know, when Mufasa dies, right? I watched him. I got a little teared up. I felt proud to be an African-American and to watch something like that speaks to our roots on a cinematic level of that magnitude. It was unbelievable. It was one of my it quickly jumped to one of my favorite movies of all time. It is movie gold, Mike. Movie gold.
All right, then. I'll let you wrap the show up, man. Thanks for listening.
All right.
Keeping us in the know, man. I appreciate it, man.
You got it. My man Mike from Saginaw. I love Mike because he always brings the pop culture to the show. Love it. Thank you, Mike from Saginaw. All right. We're going to have to table two discussions that I wanted to get to on today's Current Sports. Again, much thanks to Aaron Harris, former Michigan State men's basketball guard, for joining us after his G League stint with the Milwaukee Bucks from Wisconsin. Much thanks to Aaron. Always love having him a part of the hour. You know, we talked about the Michigan men's basketball win over Penn State, but tomorrow I am going to lead the show by giving much deserved pub to the MSU women's basketball team, who topped Wisconsin on senior day yesterday. And also, I want to get to this Louisville men's basketball discussion, as Louisville has had to vacate wins. That does include the 2013 national championship. And also, I promise to give you my thoughts as I let this digest. My thoughts on the Todd Haywood Lansing City Pulse story entitled "Izzo Fully Informed: New Documents Detail MSU Appling and Paying Housing Irregularities." So that and more, a lot to get to on tomorrow's show. But in the meantime, we are taking a 23-hour break. Be easy, people.